use your breath to your advantage, because your breath controls your heart, and your heart talks to your brain about how we're dealing with stress. And research shows that feeling gratitude is very effective for reducing the stress that people are feeling. You know, the kind of stressed out where you feel like the squirrel and you're like, I have to do this and this and this and this, and they all have to be done like yesterday. And I can't focus. If you're feeling that kind of like high energy, an appropriate recharge break might be to go for a walk or jump on a trampoline or go for a run or do something that's a little more physical to like release some of that stressed out energy and allow yourself to focus back in and recharging your battery.
Ooh, wait, you get a big dose of Katie Kimball 2 weeks in a row. Last week, I introduced you to the idea of stress mastery. And today I'm going to introduce you to your BFF, your very best friend when it comes to mastering your stress, and a couple more routines that you can integrate into your life, adding practically zero time and taking nothing away. Again, this is a recording from about 5 years ago when I was in the midst of being certified as a stress mastery educator. And I will tell you actually that I was very excited and I implemented a lot of these stress mastery techniques. And then, as I often do, I fell off the wagon. I ended up giving myself a stress-induced autoimmune disease, to tell you the truth, in 2020, and had to work through that. Am I a perfect implementer now of stress mastery techniques, having had that scare? Drat. No, I am not. Am I trying, though? I keep trying to get back on the wagon and continuing to make an impact, continuing to attempt good stress mastery techniques.
Did you know that the best rate of breathing is 6 breaths per minute? That's 5 seconds in and 5 seconds out. It's a pretty slow breath. It has been absolutely life-changing for me in my personal stress mastery. And honestly, I'm not even very good at it yet. I'm still just a rookie. I'm just limping along, trying to implement the strategies to help myself decrease the gap between my demand and my capacity. Let's unpack that a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about stress mastery, and I taught you that the definition of stress is the difference between your demand and your capacity. A lot of times in America, we think of stress as what is happening to us. I'm having a stressful day. I'm in a stressful phase of life, right? There's too much going on. And while there's some truth to that, in reality, stress is what we feel when we aren't able to respond to what's happening to us, right? So yes, there are some events that are more stressful than others, but there's also ways to respond within ourselves that are maybe more effective than others, and making sure that our feeling of stress is lower. Okay, so that's your capacity, your like bucket of energy and ability to deal with stress, right? Think about it. If the same meltdown in your kids happens at the end of the day versus maybe right after you've had a nice snack or after you've sat by yourself with your cup of coffee, to which child are you going to react worse? I'm guessing the end of the day when your energy is depleted, okay? And I very specifically use the word react because, again, in the last episode where we talked about stress, I talked about the difference between reaction and responding. And if we're more in control of how we respond instead of simply reacting, we're going to feel a lot less stress. So today we're going to talk about how to decrease that gap between your demand, all the demands on your time and your energy and your effort, and your capacity, the energy that you have to actually deal with that. If we can decrease that, we're going to end up with less stress response. And, you know, stress is really bad for us. It can impact our sleep in a negative way. It can actually cause disease because of the way the brain and the body work together so cohesively. And so I think we all know that we don't want to feel stressed. We're not as nice of a person when we're stressed. So today we're going to talk about Dr. Heidi Hanna's BFF strategy to reduce our stress. Again, last time I challenged you to use your breath to your advantage because your breath controls your heart and your heart talks to your brain about how we're dealing with stress. So definitely check out that last video. Links in the show notes. And you can also, if you don't have time to watch the video, you can skim the notes too. Check the link wherever we share this video. Anyway, I challenged you to work on being aware of your breath and using a lot longer, deeper breaths with an extended exhale to help reduce your stress hormones and your stress response. I know I've heard from a couple people in our community that they've been trying it and it's really working for them. And I love that. Like me too, like being aware of my breath has been completely life-changing for me. And at the very least, even when I don't maybe have the capacity to do what I know I should do, what I'm going to teach you today, I'm still aware. And I'm like, oh, like I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm feeling stress beyond what I need to feel. So today we got to talk about the BFF. Go back to the last video, remind yourself, we learned about the levels of the brain, kind of the triune brain, the lizard brain, the monkey brain, and the human brain. And what BFF does is it works from the bottom up in your brain to pull yourself out of a reactive, stressed out mode and into more of a calm, thinking logically mode of being, okay? So you already know the B in BFF. That's the breath. And again, the perfect breath, or ideal, I guess, maybe not perfect. Nothing's perfect. The ideal breath is 5 seconds in and 5 seconds out. And if you're feeling stressed, extend that exhale by a second or two. So when we breathe, we bring our senses into it. So our sense, anything that's going to work with the lower part of the brain is how you sense the world. So touch, breath, scent or smell. Sound. And that's why sometimes, you know, essential oils or listening to calm music can actually help reduce your stress, right? Because it's calming that fear center of the brain that's saying, look out, what's going to happen next? Oh my gosh, the world is out to get me, right? We need to breathe to calm down the lizard part of our brain. And then we can move into our more emotional part of the brain. That's the midbrain. And that's what is sometimes called the monkey brain. So what we want to do when we're feeling stressed to calm the middle part of our brain, our emotional center, is to allow ourselves to feel a positive emotion. And research shows that feeling gratitude is very effective for reducing the stress that people are feeling. And you know how there's a difference, I think, between being grateful for something like, oh, thanks, like I'm so happy you gave me that, or just like, ah, thank you, Jesus, for my kids. You know what I mean? Like we can say grateful things, but there is a difference when you feel grateful. Like when you just those moments when you see your kids do something incredible and your like heart blooms and you kind of feel this overflowing joy and gratitude for the gift that you have in your children. Or if your spouse does something particularly sweet for you and you're just like, oh, honey, thank you. Like you can literally feel it in like the area of your chest where your heart is. Like this is not made up. It's not woo-woo. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's like thinking grateful thoughts and then there's feeling gratitude. So how cool is this? If we can just calm our lizard brain with our breath and then get into a state of feeling gratitude, again, really just like focusing on something or someone you're extremely grateful for, and allowing your heart to bloom and blossom with that feeling of gratitude, now you're calming the emotional center of your brain, your monkey brain, and you're bringing everything into a more positive state of mind. Obviously, that's like the opposite of stress, so it's fantastic. And then and only then can you really, really tap into the logical thinking human part of your brain. And what you want to do to, and this is, the BFF is a great way to start your day, to kind of plug in. It's a great way to recharge in the middle of the day. I'll talk about that a little more in just a second, but let me talk about the last F, right? So we're going to breathe, we're going to feel gratitude, and then we're going to focus. And focus is just kind of like using that human part of your brain to think, who do I want to be today? Who do I want to show up as for my kids? What kind of mom or dad do I want to be? You know, if you have a job outside the house, what kind of employee do I want to be today? What kind of volunteer? Like whatever you're doing in your day, like how do you want to show up? As a Christian, personally, when I do this plug-in in the morning, I make it my prayer, right? So when I breathe and say things like, be still and know that I am God in my head, or come Holy Spirit, just really focused, simple phrases that go in and out with my breath that allow me to kind of connect with God and become a listening, prayerful person. And then when I feel gratitude, I give that gratitude to God. So again, this is a prayer, but it's like a brain-based prayer. It's so cool. Like God tells us to do all this stuff anyway. he tells us to be grateful and to sit down and to slow down and to pray. And so, like, I like to say, God created neuroscience. What the scientists are discovering now in the 21st century is what God has known all along. And he's always taught his people this, right? So when you breathe and you feel gratitude and you focus, focus is like your intention for the day. It's like, Lord, give me the strength to do what? What do you want to do? Sometimes my intention or my focus is to be a laser focused finisher when I have a lot to do at work. Sometimes it's to just be the loving mom. Sometimes I feel like I just need to be present in the moment to my kids that day and undistracted. So each morning I choose a very specific focus for that day. And when you focus on that, you want to really like engage the human part of your brain. Like imagine it happening. Why do you want to be that person that you're showing up as today? What will it look like? And what can you do to make sure that happens? And then again, because I'm talking to God, I just ask him for help and for the strength. So this is something you can do regardless of faith, but it's cool that you can infuse faith into it if you have a faith background and starting with prayer is important to you. So this, again, it's so important to start your day correctly. So I highly recommend starting your day with your BFF, breathing, feeling, and focusing, and that'll engage your whole brain. I highly discourage starting your day with email, social media, or the news, because research has taught us that what you do in the first hour of your day sort of sets the tone. It's like training your brain for what the rest of the day will be like. So if you get on social media or listen to the news and it's negative and you feel that stress and that fear of what is the world going to throw at me today, that's the intention with which you're going to enter the rest of the day. And you'll feel more stressed out. If you start with your email or maybe the comparisonitis of social media and you're feeling like you have to just jump on everything, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to respond to that email, there's so much to do, I have to get this done. Oh my goodness, you're training your brain to quickly react to things. Now, if that's true for your whole day, I guess maybe that's okay, but most of us have some sort of projects we want to do and we want to slow down sometimes and we want to have some focus beyond that like squirrel chasing the next shiny thing. So take that first hour of your day and don't be a squirrel. That's a bad idea. Don't be the squirrel chasing whatever is shooting at you. Try really hard within that first hour to take a moment and sit with your BFF, to breathe, to feel, to focus on your intention for the day and really engage your entire brain in your day. Now, is this going to be a magical stress reliever and now you are decreased the gap between demand and capacity? Well, no, not really. A lot of the stress management gurus will say to look at that demand part. Okay, what can you cut down in your day? What things can you take off your to-do list that you don't need to do? Well, that's great and that can reduce your stress, but it's also impossible for some people. Like sometimes we can't cut things out of our day. I can't cut my toddler who's stressing me out of my day. Okay, so I might not be able to control the demands on my time and energy. But what's cool is that we have a little more control over our capacity. Again, which is the ability that we have to properly respond to those demands, to what happens in our life. If we can bring that a little bit closer, or maybe I kind of like to think of it this way, right? If your demand's really high and your capacity is really low, your stress is really big. So you might not be able to decrease your demand, but if you can increase your capacity and get more energy and more focus in your day, your stress is lower because those things are closer. So how do we increase our capacity? Number one is by plugging in with that BFF. And then second is that we need to take some recharge breaks during our day. This has been what's revolutionary for me in Dr. Heidi Hanna's teaching, these recharges. Like I've never ever considered something like that during my day. I tend to rush, rush, rush and run, run, run. And I think I'm pretty typical of many Americans, especially women. We just, we're that way. We might have jobs. We have kids. There's always something to do. And sometimes you can feel yourself dragging, right? Like I could feel that I have no energy. And generally, what do? Either I push through or I take like a funky break. Like I go get something to eat, right? Or I hop on social media like, oh, like my brain just needs a break. But I'm not really taking a break from my screen because I'm still on a screen and it's still kind of stressful. So there are basically breaks you can take. Let's call them recharge breaks. where you can recharge your battery and fill up the gas tank of your capacity if you kind of do these in an appropriate way and something that will actually charge you up instead of draining you. P.S. Social media, not really going to be on the list. As you might imagine, it's much more draining for most people. It can be a really cool way to connect with friends, but it's like kind of a gamble. So I wouldn't recommend including social media in your recharges. And I'm just looking at my list over here because I don't really want to miss anything. So again, this is more of managing your energy, your capacity, instead of the stressful things that happen to you. And Dr. Hannah teaches, she actually has 5 different categories of recharges, but for me, the 3 were easier to understand. So let's stick with 3 and know that there's lots of different kinds of recharge, just as there are lots of different kinds of people.
Snacks, snacks, snacky snacks, snacks. How many kids sing that song all day long, or whatever version your kids sing? Mom, can I have a snack? I have to give a huge shout out to today's podcast sponsor, Paleo Valley, because we rely on them for a lot of our quick, easy to grab away from home snacks. Paleo Valley makes our family's absolute favorite meat sticks, both beef and pork, although we're partial to the beef, and they are so easy to grab. And I know that my kids are getting good nutrition with a massive dose of protein. And this is grass-fed beef and high quality ingredients. No junk, no fillers, no chemicals, no toxins. We've been huge Paleo Valley fans for a really long time. I have a couple subscriptions going, so they just keep showing up to my house. And you know what? The kids keep eating them. We do love them for their grab and go quality so that we can have them for out of the house. And most recently, my 9-year-old has been allowing things like fruits to go moldy in his backpack. So we just instituted a new rule that he only can take non-perishable things for his snacks, which means we're going to be going through a lot more Paleo Valley meat sticks. Check out all their flavors at kidscookrealfood.com/meatsticks. When you go to that link, you will automatically have a 15% off discount preloaded. Again, check out kidscookrealfood.com/meatsticks. That's our favorite meat sticks for your family to try out.
Dr. Hannah teaches, she actually has 5 different categories of recharges, but for me, the 3 were easier to understand. So let's stick with 3 and know that there's lots of different kinds of recharge, just as there are lots of different kinds of people. So it's important for you to experiment and find things that work for you. And I like to always be switching it up. So if I'm like, you know, if I'm feeling like really drained of energy, I might need to go sit in my room quietly and write in my gratitude journal or do some of that BFF, that breathing, feeling, and focusing and reconnecting with my prayer and with my God. If I'm feeling like, you know, the kind of stressed out where you feel like the squirrel and you're like, I have to do this and this and this and this, and they all have to be done like yesterday. And I just like, I can't focus. If you're feeling that kind of like high energy, an appropriate recharge break might be to go for a walk or jump on a trampoline or go for a run or do something that's a little more physical to like release some of that stressed out energy and allow yourself to focus back in and recharging your battery. Okay, so a little bit of a tangent there, but that's kind of how you might determine what a proper recharge is for you. So we're going to talk about 3 different kinds of recharges. First is one that's kind of a slower category, and it's the mindfulness, meditation, and breath. Okay, so this might be doing a BFF, even in the middle of the day, even a 2 or 3 minute BFF. And there's a link below at rechargetoolkit.com, and there you'll find some 3 and 4 minute, some 10 minute quick meditations from my instructor, Dr. Heidi Hanna. She has a great meditation voice, by the way. It's like super calming and soothing. Again, if you're a person of faith, include God in your meditation time. That's awesome. Like, meditation is definitely a Christian practice. It's an ancient Christian practice. So it's not something that Christians need to turn away from. In fact, we'll have a teacher who will do some meditations for kids and an upcoming Healthy Parenting Connector. I'm really excited to share those with you. Okay, so the mindfulness, meditation, and breath kind of category or bucket, that can also include things like maybe getting a massage or quietly listening to music, making some hot tea, and forcing yourself to like, don't drink the tea when you're at your computer. Make yourself hold your little tea mug and sit, right? That's like a really helpful recharge, especially if you incorporate that with maybe some BFF, breathe, feel focus kind of work. I'm also including a link below that can help it to a really cool product called Inner Balance by HeartMath. And I don't have mine because I gave it to my father-in-law. He was having trouble regulating his blood pressure after a pretty scary couple weeks and a triple bypass. But what this tool is it's got a little clip that attaches to your earlobe, and then the device itself Bluetooths to your phone, and it helps you connect your heart rate with your brain waves. So you get in coherence between your heart and your brain. And that is, again, research proven to lower blood pressure, to improve your stress hormone oscillation. It can really help people sleep better. But it's basically like, if you're thinking like, dude, I stink at this. I can't do the breath right. I'm still feeling kind of stressed. Maybe you have high blood pressure and you know it. It's a really cool tool that teaches you how to breathe and how to kind of open up that heart to the feeling of gratitude, because that's all part of it. It's been really kind of exciting to watch my father-in-law. Like the first time he tried it, he was really terrible at it, actually. Like, he was never in coherence. He was like, I don't get this. And he got kind of angry. And I'm like, no, Dad, that's not going to help. But he practiced and he did it more. And I would be texting him, like, are you doing it today? Make sure you do it every day. And he's getting like way better, so that he's incoherent almost all the time. And his blood pressure's really good. Yes, he's on medication too. Is it possible that just kicked in? Oh my gosh, who the heck knows? Like, this is N=1 and not real research, but it's still been really exciting to watch. And now I actually kind of want it back because I want to use it in my own family too. But if this is something you really want to focus on, it's a bit of an investment. But for me, like, it was a no-brainer once I heard about this because of what was going on with my father-in-law. So like, I just did it. I got it. And it's been really cool. Like, I used it too. I wanted to make sure before I gave it to him that I had my like breath in and out correct. I'm like, okay, so now I know how that feels. I can replicate that when I need a recharge. So first bucket is very like slow, calm things, mindfulness, meditation, breath. That might even include going outside, getting some sunshine, anything that's kind of focused on more of in the mind. The second bucket is your energy management. So more of the physical world. So this is, you know, when are you eating and what are you eating? Are you eating things that are going to recharge your brain, or like really starchy carbs that are just going to kind of shoot like quick energy and then drag you down, right? So eating, we take these natural breaks to eat during the day, and you can think of your recharge breaks kind of like that. Like, when you get hungry, you fuel your belly. When you can feel your brain being drained of energy, or maybe every 2 hours if you can't even feel it, you need to fuel your brain, right? So we can do that in food. We can do that in movement. So this might be where you're going for a walk or a run outside. This might even be like finding a funny video so that you laugh, because laughter is research proven to reduce stress. I love that. Doing some acting or some improv, getting with an animal, horses or dogs, and just kind of allowing yourself to interact with them. That can be really helpful. But again, this is like the kind of food and movement bucket of energy management. How can you use those opportunities throughout the day to recharge your capacity to deal with stress? Again, there are kind of positive and negative ways to do it, but if you can capture this right, like, it's a sunny day and I have 20 minutes before I have to be somewhere. So I have to decide as soon as I end this video in the next 20 minutes, am I going to like sit down and eat mindfully, or am I going to grab my husband and go for a walk? I'm not really sure. Really, it'd be better if I could do both, but that's my demand, right? I can't change the demands of my time. But I can change my capacity, and I can make sure that whatever one I choose, I like focus on it and I'm present in the moment and I'm appreciating it for what it is. Does that make sense? Because that's going to fill my tank, as opposed to like, oh my gosh, I don't have time to eat, and I wish I could do this, and I wish I could do that, and I wish I wasn't in this situation. That drains your energy and drains your tank. So flow things, mindfulness, meditation, breath. Bucket two is energy management, your physical movement and your food. Bucket three is actually what we give to the world, because it can fill us up when we give. And if you've ever experienced this, you know that that's true. Okay. Giving to others can fill your tank. And that's a beautiful blessing. So sometimes doing things like being creative, painting or writing, or even maybe like reading some poetry or reading an inspirational book, anything that's kind of the creative part of your brain can fill you up and recharge you for the rest of your work. Now, if you are a creative and that's your job, probably that won't recharge you, right? Maybe it will. I don't know. But if I'm writing and writing and writing, I'm not going to go like take a recharge break and write. I'm going to take a recharge break and like move my body, probably. Kind of needs to be different from what you're doing in your day. You know, being a spiritual person, taking time for prayer, taking time for service, attending a spiritual service, all of those things can be a recharge moment. So we did in our class, do I have one right here? Maybe. Yeah. It's going to be a little messy. Don't judge my handwriting. I always use scrap paper. You guys do that too? Always print on scrap paper. In our class, we did this 21-day recharge challenge, and I'm pretty sure you can find this worksheet at rechargetoolkit.com, Dr. Heidi Hanna's site. And so we had to like plan ahead, like how are we going to plug in each morning, three different recharge breaks, and then how are we going to unplug at the end of the day? And so, you know, I would write in sometimes things like call my grandma and talk to her because she's lonely. Right? Or just sit down with one of my kids and read a book for 10 minutes with appreciation. Because I can sit down with my kids and play with them or read with them and just be like, this is such a pain. This is not what I want to be doing right now. Or I'm really tired, or I wish I was somewhere else. And then that's a drain on my capacity. Or I can say, man, I am so grateful to have this 10 minutes. And I'm going to focus on my kids and be present. Is that always easy? No, I kind of have to have a little capacity to be able to make that particular choice. And so again, like you've got to know yourself and know what your capacity is on that given day to know whether giving to others can actually recharge your battery. But often, particularly for women, I think this is a strategy that can actually work to recharge you. Okay, hold on. Rewind. I wanted to share with you a really cool tool that Dr. Hanna has created called the Stress Survey 360, my Stress 360, something like that. Grab the link in the description of this video. It's a free questionnaire. It's pretty quick, a couple minutes, to help you figure out how stressed out you really are. There will be some questions about your demands, some questions about your capacity, and then some questions about how stress physically shows up in your body, right? Are you someone who gets like stress headaches or tension in your shoulders? Are you someone who like can feel her heart rate going quickly or has trouble falling asleep? Different ways of responding to stress usually require different recharge techniques, right? So if you feel the stress kind of in your body, you might need something physical to recharge, or you might need like that massage or that really quiet time, right? Or that mug of tea. Whereas if you're feeling the stress like in your brain moving too quickly, similarly, you know, then you might need to like go for a run or something. So it's just kind of understanding how you respond to stress and how you'll be able to recharge. The final tip is to make sure you unwind properly at the end of the day. I totally stink at this. So don't learn from what I do. But we know that we want to sleep our best to have the most capacity when we wake up in the morning. Okay. So taking some time to slow down, to turn off the screens, to do sort of a quiet routine, a warm mug of caffeine-free tea or some other like warm drink without caffeine is a great way to wind down. Using salt lamps in like that ambient warm light can really help. And taking some time at the end of the day for prayer or meditation is a really important way to kind of dial down our brain and remind ourselves that it's actually time to sleep. We'll be sharing a really cool post on 5 sleep hacks for people who don't want to spend any more time in bed, but want to supercharge every moment they do spend in bed. That'll be this Friday on Kitchen Stewardship, along with a little news spot that I got to do this morning. So excited to share that, you know, learn from that. Again, I'm a rookie. I'm stumbling along just like you guys, but already just this awareness and some of these strategies are incredibly powerful and have changed my own life, have changed the way I interact with my family. As with anything, I'm human. I fall down. I fail. Sometimes I go through a day and I go, oh, like I didn't plug in. I didn't recharge. And guess what? I was a horrible person to my family. Maybe there's something to this, right? So as I'm aware, as I'm watching myself try and fail and succeed, I see that it really does make a difference. And that's why I'm so excited to share all of this with you and share these ideas about your demand and your capacity and figuring out how stress works for you and how you can actually recharge, fill your tank, and increase your capacity to decrease your stress without changing anything in your life. Okay. Do you have 3 minutes right now to go breathe, feel, and focus? Try it. 3 minutes. I guarantee those 3 minutes will be given back to you in greater productivity later and just in being a better parent and a better person in general when your capacity is increased.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy Parenting Handbook podcast. I hope your brain feels fed and your heart feels full and that you feel connected, knowing that there are other parents on this journey with you. We're just trying to raise healthy, independent adults. And you know, the next time you think, man, there is no handbook for this job, now there is, the Healthy Parenting Handbook. Look up the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please leave a review, my friends, as that helps other parents who need this information to find us. And of course, subscribe. That's a huge help. You can also look for our shorts as a reel on Instagram at Katie Kimball Kids Cook, or subscribe to the Healthy Parenting Handbook Shorts channel on YouTube. You'll get those bite-sized portions of healthy parenting advice.